Welcome everybody to this afternoon's meditation session. And as I always have to say, that this is the class for those who have meditated before. If you come for the introduction to meditation class, the introduction class is to be held in the room to my right. Here we're going to be sitting for about 45 minutes. So if you're coming for the first time, that might be a bit tough. So if you're coming for the first or second time, I invite you to the room on my right. However, if you've come many times before and you can sit meditation for 45 minutes, again, you're most welcome here. And in this class, every week, we focus on a different aspect of the path of meditation to increase your skills in the way of peace and stillness. And what I wanted to focus on today was just the motivation we have to meditate. Because sometimes that a person can sit down and the whole mind can just drift off into all sorts of areas. The mind wanders around, even falling asleep or fantasizing. And after the 45 minutes, you haven't got anywhere. And you know, how can we remedy that? Hopefully you want to remedy it. And it's the wanting to remedy it, the motivation is perhaps the first thing one should look at. You know, when you're just meditating, what are you trying to get? What's your motivation? What's your goal? Because if we just meditate without some direction, without some motivation, then of course, without any steerage, we just go around in circles. So it's sometimes helpful as you begin the meditation. What am I doing this for? I know in my own life that sometimes I've read some article on meditation which has been really off the wall. Because meditation is very popular now, and all sorts of people are getting on the bandwagon. It's only a matter of weeks before Madonna starts meditation instead of Kabbalah. And whenever that happens, we have all sorts of stuff coming about what meditation is and how to meditate. And sometimes already I read some of that stuff, and I'm like, wow, you can't say this. And then sometimes I sat down, I'm going to show you. And I sometimes get some really nice meditations with that attitude. Okay, it's not all that sort of wholesome or skillful or whatever, but it certainly it shows me that when you say, I'm going to do something, or I'm going to go to that particular stillness, then you can do it. Motivation is sometimes very important. Which is why that we can look at this 45 minutes, say we're going to be here anyway, we're stuck in this room, let's make the most of it, let's make it a very beautiful meditation. So that motivation, what it does, it increases one's awareness. It sort of sharpens the mind. It makes one more alert. And in that greater awareness and greater sharpness is the more chance you will remember the instructions you've heard many times before. So, you know, with that motivation, the increase in mindfulness, alertness, so you're more alert when you're overlooking the whole process of meditation. And then you also remember what you're supposed to be doing. And that's all it really needs, you know, just understanding and remembering what's happening. So those two parts of what we call in Buddhism the gatekeeper, or what I've sometimes called the supervisor. The supervisor of any operation has to be really alert and also know exactly what the rules are. Just like the umpire who was umpiring a cricket match has to know what the rules are and also be really alert. Because some of these people are professional sports people, so they know all the tricks. The umpire or the referee has to be a supervisor, always alert, but also knowing the rules. And if you have that same sort of mind state, you know, built up from motivation to be really alert, and you know what the rules are, you've heard the teachings of meditation long enough, then you have a really great chance of having a wonderful meditation. You have a drive to get into some stillness. And also, you have the awareness, the alertness. There's been many occasions of one of these monasteries which unfortunately was destroyed about 30 years ago during the Vietnam War in Laos. The abbot of this monastery would actually take his young meditating disciples for a walk through the jungle all day. And, you know, even if you are, you know, a local born in that place, just walking all day through hot steaming jungles tires anyone out because you're hot and sticky. And he'd always try and come to a place in the jungle just, late afternoon. And there was these huge old trees, and on the top of the trees they built platforms, and the platforms were just about the size of these mats which you see the monks or nuns sit on. And those platforms were high up on the end of a branch. And there was a ladder going up, and the poor monks had to go all the way up that ladder, sit on that platform without any safety rails, and then they'd take the ladder away, and the abbot said, "I'll come back tomorrow, if you're still alive." So these monks had to sit up on these small platforms, just enough to sit on, no way you can lie down, all night, having been so tired. And it's amazing what type of motivation they had that night. Of course they could go sleepy, because if they did, they would fall off and they'd kill themselves. So they were so highly motivated, that many of them got into very, very deep meditations. At least that's what was said by the ones who survived. Now the moral of that story is that if you really want to, it's amazing what you can do. So sometimes we have to try and motivate ourselves in meditation. Of course, motivating through fear is not the right way. But still we can motivate ourselves, not through the stick, but through the carrot, knowing that this is really worthwhile. You're going to spend 45 minutes here anyway, you might as well do it properly. And that motivation brings up the supervisor inside of you. And you all know what we should be doing. Once you're motivated, yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and become still, alert, mindful. How do we do that? We have all these stages on the path, present moment awareness, silence, watching the breath, being aware of the breath. First of all, just an in-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath. Increasing that awareness until the experience of the breath fills every in-breath and every out-breath. You see the breath from the beginning of an in-breath right to the end of an in-breath. See it from the beginning of an out-breath to the end of the out-breath. Everything else in the mind sort of is almost like satellites orbiting the main thing called the breath. So you can be aware of the sounds and the feelings in the body, but they're out there. The central focus of you is with the breath, going in and going out. And little by little you relax until that breath becomes just so peaceful, so beautiful, so delightful. And you've got sort of the full breath there, so you don't need to use any more force. It's just attractive by itself. When you get to that beautiful breath stage, you let go even more. And then you get to the interesting parts of meditation, where the breath starts to disappear, and you get all these other amazing nimittas comes in, these beautiful visions in the mind. Eventually the beautiful light which comes up, which really makes you very, very peaceful and very still, and very lots of energy, stabilizing that light, which means more focusing, until you can actually merge into that and get into a jhana. These are the path which, you know, I've taught many, many times, and there's heaps of CDs, even a book on that now, the Mindfulness Bliss and Beyond, which I wrote. So you know all the instructions. But now we need to keep them in mind. The gatekeeper, the umpire, the referee, the supervisor, has been well taught, but now it needs to wake up and do its job. And the motivation wakes up that supervisor and make sure that it does what it's supposed to do. And the supervisor also knows that, you know, too much effort makes you too tense, you don't get the joy. And the supervisor knows that that stage of the delightful breath, when you're just watching the breath, it feels so nice. You know, you're happy to meditate. The sort of state that after 45 minutes, if you're in and I ring the bell, say, "Oh no, I just really enjoy my meditation." That's the key, the crucial tipping point of meditation. Because from there you don't need to put any effort anymore. The mind has its own sense of joy and it pulls you to it. You just want to meditate because you're enjoying it. So once you get to those stages of the meditation, the supervisor is enjoying what it's doing. And when it's enjoying what it does it much, much better. The more fun you have with what you're doing, the better the job becomes, the better the outcome. So this is what we do in our meditation. So we have to motivate ourselves somewhere or other. And whatever you motivate yourself in, obviously the carrots are the best. For those of you who had nice meditations before, you realize that was a beautiful meditation. That was so amazing. Let's get there again. But when you are motivate yourself by past meditation successes, always remember, you're not, be wise. You don't just say, "I want that back, I want that back, I want that back." You think, what were the causes? How did that happen? And the supervisor knows, if I want to get to that place, this is where I go. This stage, that stage, the next stage, the next stage. And how do these stages are achieved? You know the path, and you know the obstacles. So you can skirt around the obstacles. So, present moment awareness. Right in the moment. No past and no future. Just really let that go. And so you can dwell in the present moment. And enjoy it. It's a wonderful place to be. You're free. You've got no burdens, no worries. Silence when you stop this terrible thinking inside of you. It's not beyond your ability to do that. Many of you have done that. You've just got these moments when there's no descriptions of reality going through your mind. Instead, you've got the reality itself. Now, usually you have one of the two. You've either got the description of reality or the bare reality. And the two are very different. Now, the thought the dog was barking and the barking itself are different. See? Thank you, dog. You can stop now. Now, when you understand sort of how the mind works, reality and its description, you understand why silence is so important. And you value that silence. And so the silence stays. It's almost like sacred silence. A holy place which you respect so much, you will not disturb. And a beautiful breath as it starts to come in and go out. You create the causes. So your motivation is there. You know if you do it according to the instructions, and if you wake up that supervisor and make sure it's always watching over you, you know, your inner mindfulness, that supervisor is always watching over you, you know that this path is going to work. It's just a matter of doing it. Following the instructions. Waking up the supervisor. Being motivated. And that way, you don't go around in circles. You go deep and deep and deep into the meditation. And if that doesn't work today, maybe next week we might build a couple of platforms up in the trees. And those of you who volunteer and sign the legally binding contract, you will not sue the Buddhist Society in the event of your death, which will probably be likely. You can walk up there. Okay, so that's the motivational talk to begin. Are there any questions about that this morning? This afternoon, sorry. Okay, let's give it a try then. So, for those of you who have been sitting here a long time, want to stretch your legs, you are most welcome to stretch your legs. To get the body just nice. And close the eyes. First thing you should do is be kind to your body. How is your body sitting now? So time to adjust the body if you need to. And don't leave the body too soon. It does take a few moments to develop the sort of awareness where you really understand what's happening in your body. And just to check each part methodically, your legs, your bottom, back, arms and hands, even the neck. Is your body well positioned for meditation? Doesn't matter if you're on a chair, on a cushion or a stool or whatever. But it's just how you have your body on those supports. Until you know your own posture. One which works best for you. When the body is as best you can manage it, you turn your attention away from the body and turn it to motivating yourself. What are you doing here and why? What's the purpose of this 45 minutes? Make an aspiration, an inclination of the mind. Repeat that inclination or aspiration a couple of times, so it will not just last for a couple of seconds, but it will persist throughout the 45 minutes. Remind yourself what you're supposed to be doing, where you're supposed to be going. And then begin the journey. Begin the journey always with present moment awareness. Making the whole purpose of this stage to be able to let go of all the past so it doesn't infect the present moment. And to keep the mind from running off into the future with hopes, expectations or plans. So we focus. Without judgment, without complaint, on the present moment. Embracing this moment called now, until we can settle on it comfortably. It's only when you value this moment, more than the past and the future, that you'll stay here. So don't just know the moment called now. Remember its purpose and value. How important it is to be now. And allow yourself many minutes to settle in the now. being the aspiration, not wasting time, being in the moment. Where the present moment is stable, you can aspire to go deeper into that moment, like focusing it more sharply, to go to the inner silence, where there is no opportunity for a commentary. So you're holding the mind still in this moment, not needing to say anything. Knowing reality before the words come to describe it. Silent, present moment awareness. ready, turn to your breath, to know the feeling of the breath. Am I breathing and am I breathing out? Just to know an in-breath and an out-breath. And later fill the whole mind with every sensation of breath in each moment, from beginning of an in-breath to the end of an in-breath. Motivate yourself to do that, and it's easier to do.
45 minutes almost gone. How do you feel now? At the end of every meditation, we look at our mind to see its quality, how much peace, freedom, stillness there is. So we know the result of meditation. By reflecting on the result, we can value it, see how wonderful, how worthwhile, how precious is this gift of peace. Which will help us motivate ourselves in the next time we meditate. I will now ring the gong 3 times. At the end of the 3rd sound from the gong, you may come out of your meditation. Sometimes people ask me, especially on meditation retreats, about phenomena which come up when you start to become still in meditation. When mind starts to be peaceful and you're watching the breath and the breath starts to disappear. Or sometimes even earlier, sometimes people see almost like visions in the mind, scenes, scenarios, and they wonder what that all means. Sometimes weird and strange things, like their body ballooning up or feeling that they're jerking from back forward or to the side. People who are convinced they're leaning to one side or the other or leaning backwards. And it's a very common phenomenon when the mind becomes still, or reasonably still. It's not that still yet, but it's, you know, you're still getting somewhere. We have the phenomenon which I've called your perception becoming free, or sometimes I call it your perception gaining its wings. It is explained by the fact that the way we look at the world has been so conditioned by our schooling, our upbringing, our culture, that when we experience a phenomena we only perceive it in certain ways. But when the mind becomes peaceful and calm, it's as if you're taking off the constraints, and the mind becomes free to perceive things in weird and strange ways. Which means that sometimes people can feel their body shaking when it's not. They can feel it expanding when it's its ordinary size. Or they can see visions inside their mind which are very interesting and maybe even frightening or even exciting or beautiful. Doesn't really matter at all. All that's happening is your perception is having a bit of fun. It's like a person being let out of the cage for the first time. They play. But always remember that this is whatever you're experiencing at that stage. It's nothing absolutely real. So you can enjoy it if you wish, or you can just go back to the breath if you wish. My advice usually is for people to enjoy those days. Have fun there. Simply because you work so hard, it's a harmless little play which the mind sets before your attention, and you can enjoy and have fun there. But notice that it's nothing real, so don't take it seriously, and certainly not to be afraid whatever happens. It's the fear and excitement which stops the stillness and destroys the show. Just like in a few days time we have sky works, this is like mind works which comes from meditation, that's all it is, and it can be good fun. What it does show you is your mind is getting still enough that it's not so obsessed and overwhelmed with the senses, the five senses of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and physical touch. The mind is actually within itself and creating scenarios within its own territory. So you can enjoy those because you realize that you have suppressed the outside world and you're going inside. But you don't need to be concerned or afraid. Many times people have come up to me and said that when they are meditating they feel they're leaning to the left or they're shaking up and down or they're leaning so far forward they think they're going to hit the floor. But it's the fact of the matter is that they're not, they're sitting perfectly straight. But that's how it feels. It's a strange thing, it's just your perception is having some fun and games with you. So you don't need to worry about that at all. You just leave it alone and enjoy the perceptions, but don't think they're real. If you can understand that and do that, you have a lot of fun on that stage of the meditation. Usually what happens after playing around there a while, the mind starts to settle down into something more beautiful, where we usually get the nimittas from. Nimittas are lights in the mind when the five senses disappear. No seeing, no hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, and of those two it's the hearing and the touching. Hearing sounds outside or the physical feelings in the body are the two things which are the last to disappear. When you subdue those, just by not making them interesting, not being focused on them, by calming the body down until it's so comfortable you can let it go, and by not attending to the sounds outside, sitting in a reasonably calm place and not attending to those things and not attending to the thinking mind, of course those five senses have to settle down. When they settle down, they disappear. When they disappear, then you're left in that world of the mind. That's where you start to see and first experience those interesting phenomena. But when you do start to experience that interesting phenomena, the thing to do is just have a bit of fun there, relax, let it go, and aim for the next stage of the meditation after the beautiful breath, which is the beautiful light. Like seeing a star in the sky, or like seeing like a car headlight, or like a flashlight, as if it's shone into your face, but you have your eyes closed. And that's actually a sign that the mind is becoming predominant in your meditation. Always in Buddhism, from the very beginning, always had six senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and the mind sense. And this is the time when the mind becomes so dominant that the five other senses disappear, and you're just left with an image of the mind, and we usually perceive that as a light. It's a great time of meditation. If it happens to you, never get afraid. Never get excited. Just keep making the mind peaceful, because it's a sign of stillness. And if you mess around with the mind, if you try and suppress anything or start anything, all you're doing is disturbing the natural process. And you're just stopping yourself, enjoying some of the amazing experiences you can have in meditation. And sometimes when that nimitta comes up, the beautiful light inside, it's often accompanied by incredible happiness and joy. Those powerful mind states. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy that. And don't think that there's any danger there. It's always very, very safe. It's very wonderful. It energizes you. Gives your mind a big boost. And your body a big boost as well. So it's a wonderful thing to experience. So this is actually what happens when you meditate. But today in particular, a little bit of motivation, saying that directing the mind in one course really helps. And if you want to know what you should really be aiming for, stillness is the best word. Seeing how still you can make your mind, how still is the body, how still is your choosing and will. So everything just freezes and becomes sit still, silent, when nothing moves. Okay, any questions about that today? Yeah. Motivation and the desire for attachment. The motivation is pretty much similar to desire or aspiration, but it's a wise and skillful desire. The trouble with many desires, I think the best simile I've ever given is the simile of the taxi driver.
And that's similar for those of you who haven't heard it. It's like you have to go to the airport to catch an aircraft to say to Singapore. And so you get a taxi from Nalamara, and you get in the back of the taxi, and you tell the taxi driver, look, I want to get to the airport. I've got a flight in another hour and a half, so don't spend too much time. But, you know, I'm a Buddhist, so if anyone wants actually to cut in front of us, please, out of compassion, let them through. And don't drive too fast, but also don't drive too slow, because that's a danger on the road if you drive too slow. But keep to the left, and please don't honk your horn too much, because I just come from meditation, and that makes me really quite distraught. And you don't need to talk to me so much, because I like a bit of peace and quiet. And turn that radio off as well. And if you actually talk like that to a taxi driver, he's likely to throw you out before you reach the end of the road here. Because, you know, you don't need to give too many orders. All you need to do is to tell the taxi driver, take me to Perth Airport. And all the taxi drivers know that way. And you can sit in the back and be quiet. And very often that's the same with the mind. It's good to have an aspiration. It gives direction. Go to Perth Airport. If you get in the taxi and don't say anything, the taxi doesn't know where to take you. But if you take the opposite extreme and always give instructions, now this is a quick way, go left here. Now just go down Morley Drive and then go down. You can take a shortcut past the Galleria. Or don't go that way, go down the freeway and then you can go. If you keep on giving all those instructions like that, of course the taxi driver will just get really upset. But that's actually what we do with, right, the overly desire. We give too many instructions and they're not clear. So aspiration, very clear aspiration, what you want to achieve. And then let the mind go for it. It's like telling your taxi driver what you want to do. And there is this function of the mind. You know, we're personifying it here as like a supervisor. There is that aspect of the mind which can actually supervise what you're doing. You know, if ever you are, saying, do an essay, when you were at university or at school, you know, you're doing your examinations, a supervisor, you're watching what you're doing, making sure you do it properly. Or if you're an artist, there's a supervisor, actually you're watching what you're drawing. Or a musician, you know, you're hearing what you're saying. And that supervisor, we have to make that quite strong in meditation. So, you know, you're giving the supervisor the instructions, and now the supervisor's making sure you're following those instructions. It's like looking over you, making sure you're doing the right thing, rather than slacking off. And that's actually all you need to do in a taxi as well. Obviously, if you find that you're going to the airport and the taxi's going up Wanneroo Road and it's going to Joondalup, you know, then of course you tell the taxi driver, yeah, it's the wrong way. Come on, that's not the way to the airport. And then sort of it's okay. But if you keep the aspiration or direction, and it's not the same as desire, which is always getting involved. And it's also desire sometimes, the attachment, demands you achieve the goal at a certain time. So, you know, it's a bit, instead of an aspiration, which is an inclination here, the desire, I have to get it, I will get it, I'm going to get it, come on, you must. That's a sort of far too violent. An aspiration is like a gentle desire. Does that make sense? Like many things, there's a middle way there. No aspiration at all, no desire at all, they just go around in circles. Too much desire, and you just get frustrated and all tense. Thank you for that question. It's a very good question. Has anyone else got any questions about the meditation today? Yeah. Sometimes the further you get along, it has advantages and disadvantages. If you're meditating a lot, you know, it's like you know the route, because you've been along there before. But sometimes you can become a bit sort of overconfident, and a bit like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And then you don't put enough sort of aspiration into it. They have, in Buddhism, they have this term, the beginner's mind. And they use that beginner's mind because when you first do things, there's a natural interest there. And there's a natural naivety there, which is quite a positive attribute to a meditator. When you first do something, you know, you're very alert. So the advantages are, you know, when you are
meditate a long time. You know the route, but you can sort of be a bit slack. So that's why sometimes, you know, you have to say, I'm going to do it just as I did it when I first meditated. I'm going to do it stage by stage by stage. And I'm going to be careful. Even though I'm an adept hand, I'm going to still do it the, you know, the ordinary route like a novice would do it. Because sometimes you can get a bit sloppy when you get a bit too overconfident because you've had experience. Okay, thanks. Does that answer the question? Okay, so now we've finished the 4:15, so thank you for those questions. And now we can pay our respects to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and we can go and have a cup of tea, or whatever we need to do.